much, Razel, for the gracious introduction. I have to say that when I listened to the overview for this series, and then I listened to Pastor TC do chapter one, parts one and two, I called Modone and asked, "What on earth have you done to me?" And so that introduction, I'm like, okay, the stakes have been raised. But the beauty is that the thing that that came to mind is one of the best things that's ever happened to my life is the realization that I will never be good enough to speak the word of God. And the freedom that that gave me was just amazing, because I don't have to try and be good enough. I just need to open my mouth and let him speak as best as possible. But if you hear me shrub, it's not the Lord. Happy 5 years. I was so sad that I missed that celebration. I really, really, really wanted to be here. I understand, I don't know if it actually happened, but I understand that there was some sort of likeness of mine that said some things about the 5 years. And I hope that, you know, it wasn't too disappointing. But here I am, live and in the flesh. Just to say that I celebrate what God has done through Saturday PM, and I really thank God for the part he has allowed me to play in this. It has helped me to really grow in the Word of God, and for that I am grateful. My family is here with me, my wife. This is probably the first time I have managed to introduce her at the right point in a sermon. That's why she looks shocked, because normally she'd have finished everything she's doing and then I'd be like, oh my goodness, I didn't introduce her. So, Cassie, the other name she's given me that I, so allow me not to say. Next to her is Mutinda, is our firstborn, he's 10 years now. Thank God for that. He's going to be a teenager in 3 years, guys. And then Mwendwa in the middle and his twin Mweu, and thank God for they are, you know, regulars in this service. So every time I come, they insist on coming, and I'm grateful to God for that. I love the introduction to this series. Have I already said that? It was just amazing. If you didn't get to be here when it was done, please listen to it. It was an amazing introduction. And I really loved that. My brother TC, as usual, did a splendid job. And I'm grateful especially for the way he brought out the idea of a witness, because that saves me a lot of time today. But allow me to allow us to kind of, in response to what Rezo prayed, to just invite the only one who has the power and the authority to speak his own word, to speak to us. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Sing with me. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light. Pour out your power and love as we sing. to see you high and lifted up, shining. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 you are holy, 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 you are holy, 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 I want to see you. Lord, that's our prayer, that you'd allow us to see you as high and exalted, far above every name that can be named, far above every authority, far above anyone and anything that claims to be exalted. Open our eyes that we may see wonderful things in your word, that our hearts may be transformed, that our lives may be changed, and that your purposes may be carried out in us and through us for your glory and for the blessing of humanity. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to do a bit of a strange thing. You're going to see it in a short while after I do a bit of an intro, but it's something called manuscript Bible study. Anyone who's ever either heard of it or done it, manuscript Bible study, anyone? Okay, one person, two, three. Oh, of course, Cassie. I was introduced to manuscript Bible study by Reverend Eric Miller, an amazing person, loves God and loves the Word of God and loves to teach the Word of God. And the number of people that he has helped learn about the Word of God through this manuscript Bible study is just amazing. I mean, he has all sorts of contacts all over the place. Some of the contacts he has, you know, it's for jaw drop. You know, like, how on earth did you meet this person? You know, Wasani, you know, those guys for hip hop, Nini, all that. And if you see the guy and see the Msani that he's hanging out with, you're like, you guys are nowhere near being close, you know, in terms of background and all of that kind of thing. But he spends time with them, and they have a wonderful time just discovering from the Word. Manuscript Bible study basically does away with the chapter headings and does away with the verses so that you're able to read the narrative as it is. You're able to understand the natural flow of the narrative and therefore be able to get a lot more out of it. But the second thing that manuscript Bible study does, it's like the way in the overview, you know, how the repetitions and things like that come out a lot clearer because, you know, it's spread out because they usually have, you know, pieces of paper like this with the scriptures, and then it's double spaced. So you underline where the repetitions are, where there are special words, and so on and so forth. And so it's easier to see the repetitions and the movement of the story. So when I was asked to be part of this journey through the book of Acts, that was my first place that I think I'd rather do this using the manuscript, because it's been a really exciting study. We did this in Commission 2017. Anyone heard of Commission before or been part of Commission? Yeah? After, you know, CU and all that. And it was a wonderful experience just being able to go through portions of the book of Acts together with thousands of university students. And so it didn't take too much for me to say that, you know, if I'm going to do this, then I'll do it the manuscript route. Some bit of background before we have the script put up on screen so that you can see where I am and follow. What you'll notice is that there are page numbers, and then line numbers. So that's the only thing you'll find in the manuscript. And the line numbers are over on the side, so they don't interfere with the text. But just a bit of background. I know we've already done it, but just one of the things that I'd like us to look at before we do that. Going to read for us. I'd have loved for somebody else to do this, but I don't want to stress the guys of sound trying to keep up with, you know, mics all over the place. So if you have your Bible with you, which I hope you do, please turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read from verse 44 to 49. Luke chapter 24, verse 44 to 49. He said to them, that's Jesus, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Keep that in mind. The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Now you know where that prayer, open the eyes, came from. He told them, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." He didn't say might be preached. He didn't say has a high probability of being preached. He didn't say that there are people who are going to consider preaching. It will be preached. "You are witnesses of these things." Now, he's speaking to his disciples, and he's telling them that they are witnesses because they have been with him. "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." And we're going to look at what the passage that we're studying this Saturday and next week. What did the Father promise, and when did he promise? And so we're going to be looking at that. And so what Jesus is doing is he's, like we've already heard in this, the series so far, that they're not to focus on the earthly kingdoms and the destiny of earthly kingdoms. They are to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, to reflect his character, to reflect his deeds to all nations. Not to some, not to many, to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Luke 24, 44 to 49, we see that Jesus helps his disciples to understand that the scriptures are not just a set of religious things that are written, not just a set of religious rights and wrongs or religious duties that they have to follow. The scriptures are about the person of Jesus Christ. What would happen to him, why it is happening to him, and what it is supposed to achieve. And so his life, his death, his resurrection, and like we already heard, his ascension, all that is part of the plan of God for the salvation of humanity and the restoration of the kingdom of God. And so the gospel of repentance is a gospel of forgiveness of sins, not in the name of the mighty preacher, not in the name of the mighty prophet of God, but in the name of Jesus Christ. Because it is at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow, including that of the mighty prophet. The disciples and the apostles were not called to have Holy Spirit-filled badges. They were not called to go around saying, "Me mini M-O-G, me mini M-O-G." That was not what they were called to do. They were called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, not of themselves. Fine, you may be a man of God, but that's not what you're called to. You're not called to tell us about your status in Christ. You're called to tell us about Christ and his status at the right hand of God the Father. The purpose of Jesus Christ is the mission of the disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not for us to label ourselves as apostle this, evangelist that, and so on and so forth. It is to tell people that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is Lord over all, and that is forever. That is the gospel that we are called to preach. And so we are to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. And that's what they were called to do. Witness to the work of Jesus Christ, and witness to the person of Jesus Christ. And like we're going to see, they're not witnesses in their own strength, in their own power, or in their own wisdom. One of the things you notice is that somewhere along the way, the disciples finally got it that they just have to wait. When they realized that this is not about the earthly kingdom, then they realized that if Jesus is saying that what us guys thought was going to happen is not going to happen, then we might as well wait. But they didn't just sit chilling, maxing, relaxing, playing b-ball. Okay, sorry. They were praying. They would gather together and pray together. And they were praying and waiting on that which God had promised. Incidentally, what I'm looking at these two Saturdays is that the promise has been fulfilled. And so they were waiting on that promise, the promise that God had made. And I'm really trying not to get ahead of myself, because we will get to that promise. And so they would pray and they would meet constantly. It was not a one-off affair. It was not a weekly affair, but they constantly met together and prayed and waited on this promise that God had given. Why? They realized they have to depend on God. Because all the ideas they previously had about the kingdom, Jesus has nullified every single one. The only thing they had left was to wait, just like he asked them to do. Allow me then to take us into what we're looking at for the next two Saturdays. And so, in your Bible, it's Acts chapter 2, but in the manuscript we're looking at page 2 from line 21, and it's going to be up on the screens. I hope it's clear enough for you. Is that okay? Guys at the back? Fantastic. Okay. So when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Now, who are these who are all together? The disciples, how many? Not 12. 120. Gender? Both male and female. Okay. I won't ask age because I might get in trouble. They were all together in one place, and suddenly, now, I don't know if you guys are like me. I'm like, look, these guys have, been waiting like for a while. So this suddenly of yours, And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. Now, it was not a violent wind. It was like the sound of a violent wind. It sounded as though it is a violent wind. In other words, they didn't have enough words to explain what was happening. The only thing they could use is something that is familiar to them, the sound like a violent wind. And so the Holy Spirit is not a... Thank you, guys. I like guys like you. And it filled the entire house. That is, the sound filled the entire house. Okay? Just so that we're together. It filled the entire house where they were sitting. How many of you guys, have we had this conversation with you? I think we have had this conversation, but just in case. How many of you guys feel absolutely spiritual when you're seated? How many? Imagine nobody. Sitting is actually a spiritual posture. Because these guys have been meeting together doing what? What were they doing when they were meeting? They were praying. So it's okay for you to sit and pray. Yeah? But us guys believe, you know, that... the fact that you're laughing, I don't have to demonstrate it. Because we have this idea of what is the most spiritual posture. These guys were seated. Divided tongues, in other words, the distribution amongst all those who are there. So it wasn't that, you know, there were some who had this experience and others who did not have this experience. Every single person who was in that place, divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them and rested, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. Each. In other words, nobody was left out. No man was left out. No woman was left out. Every one of the 120 had the exact same experience. We together? All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them. Peter did not have a double portion of the Holy Spirit. John did not have a double portion of the Holy Spirit. Thomas did not get a doubt portion of the Holy Spirit. Every single one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit. Every single one of them. No one was left out. And began to speak in what? Guys. Okay. Now, I happen to know that I'm at Sitam. And I happen to know that I'm coming from Nairobi Baptist. And so this can be a dicey conversation. But it doesn't have to be. We're looking at what? The word of? Remember what Pastor TC talked about this, because I know he touched on this. They were speaking what? In other languages. Other versions will say in other tongues. Anyone who's... I need to issue a disclaimer as I ask this question. I am a wannabe Jeng, okay? Nothing against other nations, it's just that I happened to grow up amongst them, so kind of made me want to be one of them. You know how us guys do. Kenyans like to be someone else. So anyone from Lowland? Anyone? What do you call... What, you best know the answer to this because you put up your hand. Was it just the two or was there somebody else? You're in the worship team, so you need to speak the truth. Shame the devil. What do the Luos call language? Or, yeah, language. I think that's... Do you know? And what's the direct translation? Huh? What's the direct translation into English? It would be what? It would be? Is it mouth? Huh? It is mouth, isn't it? I don't speak that mouth. Yeah? So, so tongues, mouth, you know, you get the idea. So even the Luo know that speaking in tongues, speaking with another mouth, is speaking another language. You get my drift? So this is not a tea, some Baptist guy trying to twist the knee. Even the Luos can tell you, speaking with another mouth. Okay? And so the disciples, all 120 of them, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in another mouth, in another language that they do not know. And I'm ahead of myself here. Now, this is very important. You're going to come across it at some point. I'm sure you guys will get into 1 Corinthians, I think, at some point. And when you get to 1 Corinthians, it's one of the most wonderful letters you can come across, because it helps you recognize that I'm not the only messed up Christian that has ever crossed the face of earth. Okay? But those guys are told the same thing as the Spirit gave them ability. In other words, this speaking in tongues, this speaking in other languages, and Paul even talks about the languages of angels, which is not what we're seeing here. This is not something that I work up in my highness of spirituality, in my emojiness. This is not something I majira, as we would say. This is something that is a work of God. Because it is He that desires us to witness in this manner. And so He enables them. That's why He came, to enable them. And we're going to get into that in just a short while. But it's very important that we do not lose sight of this. As the Spirit gave them ability. The ability is not theirs. It is given to them by the one who has filled them. The car does not drive itself. If it didn't have the fuel in it, it cannot move. It's designed to move. It has everything it needs in order to move. But if you don't fuel the thing, I don't care how much you try to start it, it's not going to start and it's not going to move. It needs to be filled with that which makes it move. And you and I can have all the parts set, everything that is looking nice and Christian, but if we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, we are not going to move like a Christian. We're not going to speak like a Christian. We're not going to behave like we belong to Christ Jesus, because the only way to behave like you belong to Christ Jesus is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the one that Jesus said He will give to us so that we can be His witnesses. Every one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit and then behaved as the Spirit enabled them. Some few Sundays ago, senior pastor, Pastor Callisto, was preaching, and he made a very interesting statement. And he said that he's been a Christian many, many years and a preacher for many years, but he had to confess that not once has he ever succeeded in living the Christian life. The Christian life can only be lived by one person, and His name is Christ Jesus. And the way He lives that life in us and through us is when the Holy Spirit lives in us, resides in us. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that is when the life of Christ is lived out through us. Because he's the only one who knows how to be Jesus. We don't. That's why Paul would say, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. But Christ lives within me. The life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the one who gave himself for me. The Christian life is lived by Christ through the yielded Christian, through the one who has allowed the Holy Spirit to fill them, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, line 3, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. We've already heard from the introduction that this was the Pentecost for who? Anyone who remembers who was here? This was the Pentecost for who? Come on, guys. There were four. He mentioned four, yes? This was which one? The Pentecost of? Do you remember? The Jews? Do you remember that statement? So, devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, at this sound, which one? Which sound? The sound? You think so? How many sounds have happened? Okay, let's go back to page 2, line 21. And suddenly from heaven there came a, like, rush of a violent wind. Page 3. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to. So how many sounds have we seen? 2. So which sound do you think the Jews are hearing now? The sound of? The speaking. Praise the Lord, Jesus, praise the Lord, hallelujah, Jesus, praise the Lord, Jesus, hallelujah, glory be to God, glory. That's not what happened. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in such a way that the sound drew the attention of those around them. Now, those who like to pray quietly, I am with you, I'm one of you, but here, right here, we have the loud guys. So just letting us know. They were heard. The people around them heard this sound and came to where they were. And they were bewildered. They were puzzled. They were amazed. What on earth is going on? Why? Why? They? They could hear them speaking their native language. Now, if this happened in Nairobi, they would have heard 42 different, well, if the statistics are true, 42 different languages. Now, I don't know if you guys, and I don't want us to demonstrate it because I could get in trouble for causing chaos. But think about it, yeah? You know when we sing, what's that song that we sing that, you know, we sing in different languages? You know, God is so good, is it? That's one of them? Yeah? Now imagine, these guys were not praising in the African way. They were praising in every way possible at the same time. So I'm not sure if the miracle was just the speaking in tongues or the fact that somehow as all this noise of different tongues was going on, each person could clearly hear their own. I mean, that's amazing, don't you think? Because if you've ever been in a crowd situation, that's not usually what happens. You just hear a collective noise. But every single one of them could hear their native language in the midst of all that was being said. None of the people listening missed out on what was being said. Every single one of them could hear. We don't often think about that side of the miracle, do we? Yeah? But they could hear. Each one of them heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans?" Now, Pastor TC was talking about his accent. So I don't know if when they were speaking, you know, their accent was coming through. I don't know. I guess we'll find out one day. But these guys knew somehow that these guys are all from the same shags. Yeah? But they are speaking languages that are not taught in that shags. As in, there was no language university in Galilee. Remember, was it Nathanael? Nathanael is like, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth is where? In Galilee. So they weren't at famous for glorious things. But they are speaking in all these different languages, and people knew where these guys come from. So they're amazed at that. And how is it? Notice they too actually recognized, wait a minute, how is it that us guys can actually hear in the midst of all this that is going on, everyone at the top of their voices speaking out the praises of God, but we can pick out our languages? How is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Now, Greek and so on are not native language. So if you remember what I told you, if I shrub, that's not the Spirit of God. So Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, that is those who converted into Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them. How is it? I mean, us guys are from all over the place, and these guys from this one not so impressive place are speaking as though they've been where we come from. How did you know my language? How is it that you're able to speak my language? How is it that I can hear you in the midst of all these other languages being spoken? They were astonished and amazed at what was going on. Any geography gurus or lovers of geography? Any? You guys are so shy, man. I'm Christian, I'm so humble, I don't confess these things. How many of these guys were from Africa? Well, Egypt and Libya. So us guys were right in the mix. Eh? So don't go feeling at all, the gospel came just the other day. It's right here in the scriptures. We were represented. We hear them speaking about how they are Holy Ghost filled, headed for heaven. Yes, 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 yes. Yes? No? Come on, guys. Am I reading my own things? You guys have a different version. All were amazed and perplexed. What does this... Where are we? Yes, we hear them speaking about God's deeds. Okay, guys. Again. And let me just say, this is not just musicians that do this. It happens all over the place. When you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, the praise that comes out of us is not self-praise. It's the praise of God that comes out of the one that is filled by the Spirit of God. It is the praises of God that come out of the people of God about his deeds of power, not mine. Yes, you may have been used by God to heal someone. You may have been used by God to raise someone from the dead. You may have been used by God to give a word of knowledge. You may have been used by God to give a word of prophecy. But hey, the glory is not yours. It belongs to God. These guys knew that and gave glory to God. And the hearers recognize they are giving glory not to themselves, but to God. For his deeds of power. When the Holy Spirit fills the people of God, it's the praises of God that come out. Now, one of the things that's wonderful about this, listen to what it says. We hear them singing about God's deeds of power. Yes? 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 Speaking. The praise of God, worshiping God is not a singing thing only. You can speak the praises of God. I mean, talk about what Pastor TC was saying, that there are things that have gone out, quote unquote, of fashion in the church. The one thing that seems to have also been lost is speaking forth the word of God, taking the Psalms and speaking the Psalms. That is praise to God. Look at the book of Isaiah. You find songs of praise, but they are written. The tune is not there. So you can speak them or you can put a tune to them, but these guys are speaking the praises of God. And so, if you're here and, you know, don't listen to the voice, listen to the words. Yeah, you're okay. You can speak the praises of God. It is acceptable worship. And the amazing thing is that when the Holy Spirit comes, the first act of worship is a speaking act. Because that covers all of us, doesn't it? Now, you might be thinking, what if I'm, you know, dumb or deaf? They do call it sign language, don't they? So they speak through signs. And did you guys go through Luke? I think you did. So you must have seen that Jesus using sign language thing, yeah? When he healed the guy who was deaf and mute, you know, and so he'd do stuff. Anyway, that's a by the way. So, speaking about God's deeds, and so all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? In other words, they have never experienced anything like this. Never. Please note, and this is not in any way disrespectful to our Lord Jesus Christ, but you remember when he said you'll do greater things? Now, this might not look very great to us because we've read it so many times, but these guys were amazed and perplexed. It was awesome. Jesus had never done this, by the way. This thing that is happening. So it's beginning in that sense. And like I said, us guys are so into other amazing things that sometimes we fail to see even some that are already there. But others sneered. Here come the haters. They are filled with new wine. Now please note, that again there is very strange. They're like, us guys know the old wine. It don't behave like that. So this is a new wine. Oh my goodness, let me not share testimonies right now. Allow me to backtrack a bit here. What these guys experienced amazed the people that saw it. It was an act of God, and it was evidently not a human thing. Nobody had ever experienced anything like this. And so there's no way they could have expected this to be the work of just somebody else. But Peter, Mr. Three Times Denial, standing with the 11, raised his voice. Remember what I was saying? Why would he need to raise his voice if it was quiet? You know? Raised his voice. Of course, some might say, you know, so that everyone can hear. Well, true, that as well. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. And listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose. For it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. I see you. Those who listen to those things. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. In other words, in their culture, you don't do stuff like this at 9 o'clock in the morning. There's a time for the old wine and a time for the new wine, and it's not at 9 in the morning. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. Now, fortunately, he quotes it, so we don't have to go back into Joel. Joel chapter 2 from verse 28 to 32. In the last days it will be, God declares. You see that? It wasn't the declaration of Joel. It wasn't the prophet saying. God was speaking through the prophet. So the words that the prophet is giving is the word of God. And so Peter is telling them, God said it. God had said this would happen. Remember, we're talking about the promise fulfilled. God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Not my people will work themselves up into a spiritual frenzy and then call down the spirit on them. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall, they shall do what? Now, I don't know if you guys have noticed that. They shall do what? Okay. Now, let's go through this, as my friends would say, mos-mos, slowly. Yeah? When these people were filled with the Holy Spirit, what did they do? They spoke in other languages, they spoke in tongues. Okay? Do we normally consider that prophesying? Okay, sorry, the mic seems to have been a bit far. Do we normally call that prophesying? We don't. Okay, we're coming to the next part, but listen to what God desired. When he pours out his spirit, the people shall. So when you're speaking in tongues, you're supposed to prophesy. It's not a badge of spirituality. It's not I am saved for sure because I can speak in tongues. We're supposed to prophesy. Did these guys prophesy? How do we know that? Yes? How do we know? I'm agreeing with you, but how do we know that? Come on, guys. How do we know that the 120 who were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues, how do we know that they prophesied? Other people heard, yes, keep going, about the glorious deeds of God. That is prophecy. Prophecy is not telling you that, Rezol, you're going to... Now, prophecy does have a futuristic thing, but the prophecy of the things of God speak about the future of the things of God. They are not designed for my benefit, per se. They are not designed for my selfish desires. They are supposed to be about the things of God. But when you look at the prophets of God in those days, they used to be on people's case about breaking the covenant of God. That was prophecy. Speaking the things of God, the deeds of God, that's what they did. That is prophecy. And these guys prophesied using what? Tongues. It's not a badge of spirituality.
Here's an aside. One of my sons has taught me so much about myself. Let me just show you so that you can laugh. You see all that yellow stuff over there? It has nothing to do with where I come from. It's just that I am so easily distracted that I have to keep signposts whenever I'm doing stuff, just to keep myself, you know, on the right track. So when that mic went off, I was shoop. So that happens. But watching him, I'm like, oh my goodness, there go I. You know. When you and I speak in tongues, and this is what I was saying, that when you get to 1 Corinthians, one of the things you see in chapter 14 is that relationship between tongues and prophecy. And you know what is amazing? Because that's exactly what you said. The only way tongues become prophecy is when somebody else hears it and understands it. Can I say that again? The only way tongues becomes prophecy and therefore benefits everybody is when somebody hears and understands it. That's why they had to have interpretation, because the point was to prophesy. In those days, even upon my slaves, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. That's what he wanted. He wanted people to hear about the glorious deeds of God so that they can give praise to God. If they don't understand what's going on, they're going to say what? These guys are just, they're just what? Drunk and making noise. But when they understand, these guys are speaking about the praiseworthy things of God, they will be amazed and ask, what does this mean? Later on, the question becomes, what must we do? Because Peter explains, and he's already begun to explain what it means. Really? My goodness. Time flies when we're having a wonderful time. Let me see if I can clear that portion, because we still have time to go into it next week. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Now, here's a question, guys. Were there portents in the heavens above that we hear about in this event? No. Were there signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist? No. Did the sun turn to darkness and the moon to blood? No. Which means what? It's only been partially fulfilled. There's still more to come before the great and glorious day. Now, this is not in that, but let me see. Where are we? In chapter 1, this Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Have I read the right place? Yes, he will come in the same way that you saw him go. In other words, they were told he's going to come. He's going to come back. And Joel speaks of him coming back when this kind of events are taking place. Now, we are talking about the fulfillment of the promise. Let me backtrack to the witnesses and then we can go in, because next Saturday, I want us to spend a bit more time seeing what do these witnesses look like and what do they do. Now, the criteria for being a witness is that they were with Jesus from his baptism to his ascension. Second thing is that they witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they were known by other disciples as genuine disciples. So they had to be with Jesus in order to be a witness. Do you guys remember that story? I forget how many months ago, about this guy who seemed to always be a witness for everything that was going on in Kenya. You remember that story? Even places he didn't get to? Now, that's not what us guys are being called to. We have to know Jesus Christ, to witness Jesus Christ. You and I cannot do that if we don't know him. You and I cannot do that if we don't spend time with him. A witness speaks of things that they know of. A witness tells about what they have experienced. Every other person is telling a story about somebody else. Like the sons of Sceva. A witness experiences, sees, hears, observes, touches. What did the disciples say? We have seen his glory. We have touched him. We have eaten with him. We have heard his words of eternal life. That's what it takes to be a witness. Peter is objecting to the haters and telling them this is an act of God in fulfillment of Scripture. God had promised he was going to do what you now see that he has done. You guys know that we are from Galilee. None of us could have managed to do this on our own. This is an act of God in fulfillment to the promise he made through Joel, a promise that Jesus repeated in John 14, a promise that Jesus repeated in John 16, a promise that Jesus repeated in Luke and in Acts. Wait until you receive the promise of the Father. And that promise of the Father has been fulfilled in the presence of many, and they were amazed at what had happened. God is not a man that he should lie. He does not speak and not act. He does not promise and not fulfill. Numbers 23:19. God kept his word. God kept his promise. He proved himself faithful to his promise. And Peter is saying, and we are witnesses of that faithfulness. Peter then highlights, and we'll look a bit more into that, about the purpose of this, the salvation of humanity. It's the sons and daughters who will prophesy. There's no gender discrimination that is here. Young and old, male and female, slave and those who are not slaves. Every person will prophesy when they are filled by the Spirit of God. And everyone that calls on the name of Jesus has a high chance of being saved. Shall. That's the language of a guaranteed promise. That's the language that this is not a Bahatisha, you know, betting company kind of thing. This is going to happen. They will be saved. It's not salvation if funds are available. It will happen. It's not salvation for some people who happen to be from this place or that place. Everyone that calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. It's guaranteed. It's an open invitation to every single human being. All you need to do is call on the name of Jesus. It was fulfilling the promise of God, and it was fulfilled to everyone that God said would benefit from it. All 120 male and female leaders, or those who are not leaders, every one of them was filled. Speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability, because this is a God thing. And it was unusual and caused amazement to those who witnessed it. And the result was not praise to Peter and the 120. The result was praise to God. Allow me to just pause there, and we'll continue next Saturday. But I don't know if it breaks your heart the way it does mine, how anyone who's watched Aladdin, or at least read similar kind of stories, genie in the bottle kind of thing, you know, all those things. Yeah. Do you know the statement that is used when the genie comes out? Can you remember? Anyone? Your wish is my command. So guess who's in control at that point? The guy who's rubbing the genie lamp. Now, the genie is mighty and powerful and can do amazing things, at least the story says. But who's in control? The person rubbing the lamp. Good people, we've made the Spirit of God like a genie in the bottle. And it's heartbreaking because he is God. He cannot be my idol. He cannot be my servant. I am his servant. His wish is my command, not the other way around. He is God. He's not a force. He's not a power. He's not a spiritual ally. He is God Almighty, worthy of worship, worthy of surrender, worthy of obedience, worthy of my submission, not him to submit to my wish. He is God. And we ought to treat him like that. And it's heartbreaking how we go around behaving as though we are Aladdin rubbing this lamp so that the Spirit of God does what I want him to do. Make me look good so that the haters can be put to shame. That is not his job description. He is God. I am supposed to make him look good because he is good, and I'm supposed to proclaim it. That's what happens when you're filled with the Spirit of God. You proclaim the praise of God, not him proclaiming mine. What is there in me, of me, that is worthy of praise before a glorious God? He is the Holy Spirit of God. And you and I are also not Holy Spirit piggy banks. We are not Holy Spirit suitcases to dish out the Holy Spirit, you know, according to how much savings has been made or how much of him we have accumulated over the years in the suitcase. We are not Holy Spirit archives to go around happy that I am Holy Spirit filled and heaven bound. That is not why the Holy Spirit came. He is not for storage. He is not a badge for me to show off and feel good. He's not a souvenir of my spiritual journey that in the year 2015, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. When you go through the book of Acts, these same guys here were filled again. It's not a one-off event that becomes part of my testimony to show off about. He's not a souvenir of my spiritual journey. He does not exist for us to use when we want, how we want, and for whatever it is we want, because he is God and we are not. He is the third person of the Holy Trinity, God Almighty, worthy of worship, worthy of reverence, worthy of obedience, worthy of submission, because he's not our spiritual messenger. We are his messengers. And God gave him to us that we might be a blessing to other people. It's never about me. That was never God's intention. I will cause you to be a blessing, was the promise to Abraham. And the Spirit makes that happen. God gave us his Holy Spirit so that we carry out God's mission to save humanity. And this happens when you and I wait on God in prayer, making us spiritually alert and open to the Holy Spirit. If people cannot experience the grace, mercy, and power of God through us, you and I have failed to be what we're supposed to be, witnesses of Jesus Christ. And God will call us to account for that. For what you and I failed to do, or what we did, with the power of the Spirit that God has given us, the fruit of the Holy Spirit that God wants to grow in us, which is the Christ-likeness that he desires of us. The Holy Spirit does not produce, and I'm sorry I keep harping on this, because it's become a big culture among us. The Holy Spirit did not come to make emojis out of us. He came so that Christ may be formed in us. So that when people encounter us, they don't encounter a man of God, they encounter Christ. That's a greater thing for people to encounter than for them to encounter a man or a woman of God. God is going to call us to account. Did you surrender to the guidance of the Spirit that I gave you? Did you go where he wanted you to go? Did you do what he asked you to do? Did you go when he asked you to go? Because he is sovereign over your life. You're not, if you are in Christ. You died. And it is the Spirit that gives us life. And so when he gives us life, he then directs that life. Because he is the one who's supposed to be in charge. God will call us to account. Did you allow him to cleanse you so that you can be my witness? Because an impure witness is an unreliable witness. Even in the laws of men, if a witness cannot be trusted, their testimony is thrown out. Oh God, help us. We're chasing after women, those who are men. Chasing after men, those who are women. Chasing after money and fame. And so all the world sees is Aladdin, genie in the bottle Christianity. They don't see Jesus, his purity, his power, his purpose. That's why we're filled with the Holy Spirit. For him, and him alone. God will call us to account because we fail to realize that having the Holy Spirit in us is the assurance that we need that I will never leave you nor forsake you, whatever you go through. That's one of the reasons he is there. So that whatever haters come our way, not so that we hate them back, but so that we know God is still with me. I can continue to witness. And you already heard from the overview that he kept doing that with Paul, so that Paul would not give up as a witness. He is with us so that we remember, I am at home and welcome in the presence of God without fear of death, having access to the mind of God, having access to the heart of God, having access to the purpose of God. That is why the Holy Spirit came. When the character of Christ cannot be seen in us, when people are not being saved among us and they're not experiencing the grace, mercy, and power of the Holy Spirit, then somehow, somewhere, this channel that is supposed to bring out Christ-likeness has been blocked by something. Selfish goals, disobedience, the attempt to manipulate the Spirit of God to do what I want, rather than I do what he wants. It's been blocked by my unwillingness to surrender and allow him, the Holy Spirit of God, to take charge of my life. If the Holy Spirit is not in full control, God has ceased to be sovereign in our lives, however much we sing about it. You and I have been given the grace, the power, the mercy, of the presence of the Holy Spirit to be a blessing to others, that they may see the glorious and wonderful deeds of God and give praise to him who alone is worthy of praise, to him who alone is worthy of glory, to him who alone is worthy of all honor. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing, glory, honor, and power forever and ever. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen.